I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today, our first political debate of the season. The state primary is September 9th, and one of the candidates we are hearing from today will face Dan Wolf in the general election for the Cape and Islands State Senate seat. The district includes Barnstable down through Provincetown, as well as the islands of Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Cuttyhunk. The Republican candidates are Ron Beatty and Alan Waters. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Our format, up to 2 minutes for opening and closing statements. We determined the order before going on the air. Up to 2 minutes for responses to questions, which we will alternate who answers first, and 30 seconds for rebuttals. For our listeners, you can pose your question to both candidates by calling us at 866-999-4626 or shoot us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're going to start with opening statements, and Ron Beatty, you're up first.
Okay. My name is Ronald Beatty, and I am a 53-year-old married, native-born, lifelong resident of Cape Cod. I live in West Barnstable, Mass. Well, of course, Mass. But anyway, I am currently running for the Cape and Islands State Senate seat as a Republican, as a Tea Party Republican candidate. And I emphasize Tea Party because I believe that I am among the more conservative members of the Republican Party. I hold two master's degrees, a Master of Science in Administrative Studies from Boston College, and an MED degree in Educational Technology from Lesley University. And I am a former computer applications instructor at Cape Cod Community College and have worked in the area of real estate management for over 20 years. And I'll hand it over to my opponent.
Alan?
Good morning. I'm Alan Waters. I'm a 58-year-old family man of Mashpee, a wife and three elementary school children. For the last 32 years, I've been a financial consultant working for various firms, which include Merrill Lynch and Charles Schwab, T.I. Kreff. I enjoy helping people reach their financial goals. I call myself a dream merchant and helping people do that. I've been a Republican for about a year after being an independent voter. I've just got tired of what's going on in the country in Massachusetts and decided that regular people have to step in that aren't established one way or another. So I'm here as I like to say, I'm your neighbor. I'm that person who says, you know what, I need to go to Beacon Hill to make change as a conservative and to hopefully make Massachusetts a better place to live.
All right. You sort of kind of answered my first question, Alan. We're going to start with you. Why do you want this job?
Well, I want this job for a number of reasons. You know, there are establishment Republicans. There are Tea Party Republicans. If I'm more or less a person that just came in, I'm more or less, like I said, just a regular person's Republican. And when you look at the state of Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts has one of the best quality of life ratings, but some of the poorest business friendly ratings. And what we have here is, I believe, our golden eggs are the fact that we're a great place to live, but certainly the mere fact that a population and businesses are leaving the state because of high taxes and difficult regulations, that all needs to change. And another thing quickly is that I am an African-American, and I am rejecting some of the liberal democratic policies that they just haven't worked in the minority communities. And I believe that more people of color, African-Americans and others, should look at conservatism as another way to perhaps balance out the vote and stop voting primarily a Democrat. And also, that has to do with the state of Massachusetts. We're in a state that is a supermajority Democrat, and I don't think that has really helped us a lot. We're just going, we have bigger government, but we're not getting a big bang for our buck in terms of solutions on how to make things better.
All right. Same question to you, Ron Beatty. Why do you want the job?
Okay. Well, originally, to start off, it was because of the current state senator, Dan Wolf, The last time he ran unopposed, and up until the deadline this past spring, it looked like he was going to run unopposed again. And that just could not be allowed to happen for a few reasons. First of all, the Cape and Islands district is one of the more conservative districts in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Senator Wolf is one of the most extremely liberal members of the state legislature. There's a disconnect there. He's running for his third term. And as far as I could tell, he has accomplished little, if anything, of substantive value for the benefit of the residents of Cape Cod. He advocates for a zoning reform, which I believe infringes severely on the property rights of Massachusetts residents and people here on Cape Cod. He is just all around overly liberal. He is for the implementation of the increased sales tax that we have, which is a 6.25%, that needs to be put down to 5%. He is an advocate for illegal immigration. As you know, during the summer, there was an issue of housing illegal immigrant children at the base. He was for that. I was actively against that. He basically is on the opposite side of everything that I stand for, and that's why I ran.
All right. First question, Ron Beatty, we'll start with you. Cape Cod has the unfortunate distinction of consistently leading the state in opiate addiction numbers. And the problem is so severe here, it's been labeled an epidemic. This has also led to a rise in property crime. How would you suggest we deal with this issue?
Well, the issue has already begun to be addressed through legislation that has been advanced by State Representative Randy Hunt. I think that's a good start. A number of the communities in Barnstable, Sandwich, I believe probably Mashpee and others, have started task forces for their local communities because the problem needs to be addressed from the ground up at a grassroots level. Each community is distinct in of itself. So it needs to be a combination of law enforcement and human services. In my distant past, I have had some experience in the area of alcohol addiction, and I happen to know that this area of the state, long before the current drug dependence problem, still has an issue of alcoholism. We're around at 13 to 14% of the population, which is well above the national average. So the area has a history of this sort of thing from a different angle, and it can be addressed through a combination of legislation, but it has to be begun at the local level, which it has been. I think we're off to a good start.
Alan, same question.
I agree with Mr. Beatty on that. Between legislation and treatment and educational options, that's going to be the best for the addicted. The national war on drugs has been a failure in terms of being able to stop people's desire to take illegal intoxicants. And it seems to work in waves. I grew up in the inner city, so I certainly remember the different drugs du jour, cocaine. Heroin has always been around, but you really didn't see too many back in the day. We used that term, too many junkies around. But that said, and now that we're in the suburbs, it's become a big thing because there's a lot of folks that normally weren't so drug addicted. So it's not about putting more people in jail who are drug addicted, but to treat them with education, to offer more services locally, and of course work on a legislation to continue that. Other than that, there's not much that I really think we can do because it really has to be on the consumer level. Do you want to harm yourself with drugs or not? And when somebody makes that free will decision, it's very hard to stop them. So it's a question of how we use the resources at hand.
All right. Next question, Alan Waters, we're going to start with you. Wastewater is an issue facing most of the district. Do you think this is an issue we should be tackling as a region, or should towns go it alone, or do you see another solution?
It's definitely a regional choice. It's just too expensive for any town to start to tackle the wastewater. Also, town borders are artificial, but our environment is a continuum. And so we have to work together across geographic borders in order to work around different watersheds that different communities share. So it's definitely a regional issue, and as you're closer to the watersheds that are affected poorly, you know, there's going to be more pipes and pumps and more strategic investment, and certainly away from those sources, there might be less rigorous ways to do that. But that said, you have to work on a regional level and you have to work on an area level versus town by town.
Ron Beatty, same question.
The problem of wastewater management and water quality is both regional and local. A lot of the mitigation in each area can be done at a local level. For example, the town of Mashpee is approaching it from the standpoint of, I think, using shellfish to take in the nitrogen, the excess nitrogen, and take care of it from that angle. Other areas, like in Barnstable, we've had to do some local sewering. Other areas will use other types of technology, like clusters for subdivision developments, localized septic systems, and like that. There's a possibility of advanced technology to give individual property owners the choice of putting it on their septic system, some sort of device that will help draw out the nitrogen in that manner. The Cape Cod Commission is currently and has been for the last year or so conducting a 208 wastewater plan update. The problem with that is that's supposed to be is federally mandated to be done every 10 years. In their 24-year existence, they're only getting around to it now. Their lack of addressing the problem for such a long period of time actually helped to create the problem and make it worse than it really should be.
I have a follow-up question on that, and Alan, I'll start with you. I think everybody agrees there are a multiple solutions to this problem, but the big question is, how do we pay for it? So how do you see us paying for the solutions to the wastewater issue?
It's going to have to be a combination of the local Cape Cod expenditures, and of course we're going to have to get money from the state and perhaps the federal level. But on a local level, what we need to do is reduce the cost as much as possible. So they have to find, working with sources like the Cape Cod Commission and the others that are supporting their efforts, we need to try to lower our overall cost with the different combinations of these wastewater solutions. Because still the people are going to have to pay for it locally, but lower that cost enough so that we can get a better share from state and federal resources.
Same question to you, Ron.
That is the million-dollar question. It's been predicted that it could be anywhere from a low of $3 billion to as high as $8 billion, approximately. Big range there. And the consensus has been pretty much what Mr. Waters has stated, a combination of approximately 50% state and federal assistance through grants, loans, and so on and so forth, and some sort of local assessments of some sort at the town or regional level. How that exactly that's going to play out still remains to be seen. And I don't claim to have all the answers. If I did, then I would be a millionaire.
We are talking with the Republican candidates for the Cape and Island State Senate seat, Ron Beatty and Alan Waters. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. If you have a question that you would like to pose to our candidates, 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after a break. You're listening to The Point. It's our first political debate of the season. We are talking with the Republican candidates for the Cape and Island State Senate seat, Ron Beatty and Alan Waters. And one of them will win the primary and face Dan Wolf in the general election in November. All right, next question. And Ron Beatty, we'll start with you this time. Let's talk about local aid. Lottery money generated in the Cape is far greater than what we get back. We don't get 10% of that back in local aid. It's kind of like the battle of over Chapter 70 state aid to public schools. The cities and towns getting the bulk of this money are not likely to want to vote to give the Cape more. So how would you tackle that?
Through assertive advocacy. If I'm, unless I'm mistaken, The numbers are somewhere around the Cape sends approximately $700 million a year to Beacon Hill in taxes of all types, rooms tax, sales tax, income, you know, state income tax, what have you. That figure came from actually the Cape Cod Commission, so I will use that. And that's about all you can do is advocate for your constituents, make your case up in Beacon Hill in the most forthright and assertive manner, meet with state officials, other legislators, and make your case. Say, hey, the Cape is the state's gem. People come here. We have a lot of costs. We have the wastewater costs. If you don't help support us, this is going to become degraded, and we're not going to be able to send you as much money. So we need a fair share of that money back so we can take care of things like our infrastructure, our wastewater issues, our lack of economic development that really needs to take place down here that has not been properly addressed. So we have a lot of issues that we need to take care of, and we need more money to do it, and that is on Beacon Hill to help provide that.
Alan Waters, same question.
Like Ron, I would be an advocate to continue to press to have a greater share of the money for Cape Cod, because when you think of Massachusetts, you think of Boston, and you think of Cape Cod when you're an outsider. And so, therefore, we are the magnet, and we should be getting a greater fair share of especially what's going on in the lottery. But certainly when you think about the lottery, of course, the state is getting ready to switch. There's advocates to try to expand casino gambling. And if they do that, we know that that is going to take away from the lottery overall, because there's only so many gambling dollars going on. So I would say, in addition to that, I definitely hope that the people vote gaming away, because that is not the way to economic change.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. If you have a question that you would like to pose to the candidates, that's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Alan Waters, we're going to start with you this time. Governor Patrick has asked officials to find a location to house some of the migrant children crossing the U.S. border, and one of those possible locations is Camp Edwards. As you know, Born Selectmen opposed that idea. There have been protests from those who also oppose the plan, and protests from those who support housing the children at Camp Edwards. Where do you stand?
Well, the major stance is that the federal government has let us down, that those children should not have arrived here in the first place, because the federal government is not protecting our borders. We have a porous border at Mexico. But to answer that specifically, if the children are here, should they be fed? The answer is yes. We should have taken care of the children if they were here. But at the moment, that's really not an option, because the government says that's not going to happen. Now, that said, would those children have been pushed out into the community of Cape Cod and Bourne, et cetera? And I'm doubtful about that. I'm more concerned about Roxbury. I'm more concerned about Brockton. I'm more concerned about other places where they might have had a short stay on Cape Cod. But a lot of those children end up in already stressed and strained inner city neighborhoods. So I was less worried about Cape Cod, more worried about the inner city environments that already have their own pressures and strains.
Ron Beatty.
On the issue of illegal immigration in general, and specifically to housing the illegal alien children on the base or anywhere else in the Commonwealth, I am opposed to it. I actively took part in the protests at the base, both and at the State House. Regarding the Board of Selectmen in Bourne, I am in communication with them. I'm quite familiar with Selectman Linda Zewern, who coincidentally has endorsed my candidacy for State Senate. And I am 100% opposed to it. If the federal government had simply been enforcing our existing immigration laws and securing the borders during the last 6 years, this manufactured crisis would not be taking place. it has a lot of repercussions. For example, Senator Bob Hedlund, State Senator Bob Hedlund up in Beacon Hill, has filed legislation to prevent a practice that appears to be taking place, that public housing subsidies and public housing units are being given to illegal immigrants ahead of our veterans and our families who are here legally. That should not be happening. It just is wrong. And there's all kinds of other repercussions. There's other areas that there was an attempt to give illegal aliens driver's licenses here. That presents problems. They are given in-state tuition at our colleges and universities at the expense of our veterans who fought for this country. So there's a lot of ramifications to this issue. And if you don't stop it from nip it in the bud, then it's just going to go on and cost us more and more money.
Next question, Ron Biddy, we start with you. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission voted in 2012 to relicense the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station through 2032, much to the dismay of some who say the plant should be shut down. The NRC argues the plant is safe. What is your position?
Okay. I've done a little research on this, and I've been in touch with the Nuclear Energy Institute in Washington, D.C., specifically about Pilgrim, and I have filled out a questionnaire for the group called Cape Downwinders, which is the group that advocates for the closure of the plant, among other things. And all the cities all the towns of Cape Cod also had a vote within the last year or two concerning. They all went in favor of shutting it down eventually because of its age. I am in line with that. I am in favor of shutting down the aging Pilgrim nuclear power station once we have an alternative source of energy to take up its the energy that it produces. I do not think nuclear energy per se is a bad thing. I think we could build another nuclear energy plant. Fine. It has overall a very good history from a environmental perspective, climate change perspective. It's affordable, so on and so forth. The safety, as long as it's in compliance with all the safety mechanisms and whatnot. Hydro power is coming down from Canada is another a possibility for us on the area of energy. But in general, at some point, yes, it should be closed. It is getting old and outliving its age, where the safety comes into question, but we have to have a source of energy to replace the electricity that it produces. Until then, we have to play it by ear.
All right. Alan Waters, same question.
Nuclear power has been safe. We have an aging plant. That plant does have to be closed down eventually. I think this should probably be the last extension, but I don't believe it should be closed down immediately. We're going to have to go with the government. Okay. We do need a balance of energy from all the different sources, like Mr. Beattie said, from hydropower, continuing to work on land-based wind power and other sources so that we have a balance of power coming in here. Certainly, we also have a natural gas pipeline coming up from Pennsylvania, I think, into New York, and hopefully that'll also help that energy source coming in as well. I'm worried less about the fact that one has carbon, one doesn't, but we just need a better balance of power here. So, yes, shut it down, but not until we find a better balance of power.
We're talking with the Republican candidates for the Cape and Islands State Senate seat, Alan Waters and Ron Beattie, 866-999-4626. If you would like to know where the candidates stand on a particular issue, give us a call, 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. And we do have an email from Amy who wonders your thoughts on regionalization and thoughts on the work and regulatory power of the Cape Cod Commission. And this time, Alan, we start with you.
The Cape Cod Commission was put together before I arrived on these shores of Cape Cod in 2005. But certainly the whole premise of being able to have controlled growth so that we can preserve both the beauty of Cape Cod as well as when the population was expanding rapidly, when all of a sudden Cape Cod got rediscovered through the 80s and some of the 90s. I believe it has its place. But of course, any time that a decision is made, some people will be happy about it, and some people will not be happy with the decision of the commission. I believe that we just need to continue to fine-tune what its mission is and keep it intact.
All right. Ron Beatty?
The Cape Cod Commission, yes. As many people know, earlier this year, I was involved in a movement to ask towns if they wanted their voters to put a question on the local ballot asking if the town, their particular town should withdraw from the Cape Cod Commission. That process is still ongoing. The town of Falmouth will be having such a question at their fall town meeting. None of the towns voted to put the matter on the ballot through because of extreme pressure from Cape Cod Commission supporters and staff and so on and so forth. However, a lesson learned. What we did find out is a lot of people would like to maintain the Cape Cod Commission as an advisory-only county government agency. So if I were elected as state senator, I would file legislation which would revoke or reduce the regulatory power, the land use regulatory power of the Cape Cod Commission.
And then to Amy's other question about your thoughts on regionalization, Ron, why don't we start with you this time?
Regionalization is a good approach from a planning perspective, but never should it be at the expense of local control. In some instances, there is a conflict between regionalization and town-based decisions. Town-based decisions, which are made by mostly elected boards of selectmen, and in the case of Barnstable, a town council, should always take precedence over having something, a policy or regulation imposed from the top down on a regional level, especially if it's coming from unelected appointed officials, whether it be with the Cape Cod Commission or some other county or regional agency, whether it be federal or state.
All right, Alan, what is the same thing? What are your thoughts on regionalization?
I believe the town government knows best. They are the selectmen, such as in Mashpee. They're in touch with the people, very in touch with the people. I think a selectman is probably one of the toughest political jobs in the state. And so, therefore, local first, the most local first, should have the most say on what the people want in each particular town.
Right. Alan Waters, we're going to start with you this time. Earlier this year, Senator Mark Pacheco unveiled a bill that would require future governors to develop plans for defending the state against climate change. And part of that plan would be a coastal buyback program that would allow the state to purchase property that has been repeatedly damaged in severe weather or deemed at risk of flooding from tides or rising sea level. Would you support such a plan?
I'm not familiar with that plan. I'll have to leave that to Mr. Beatty.
Okay. No, I would not support it, and I'll tell you why. I've been endorsed by a group called the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights, and given their vote of confidence through a rating of outstanding, I am number one for property rights for American citizens and residents of Massachusetts, and that should take precedence over any forced infringement on those rights by the state, whether the state or the federal government. The process you're talking about basically would be they would be taking someone's property by eminent domain.
Actually, it's only if the seller, only if the person wanted to sell.
Well, then that's a different story. If the person wanted to sell the property, whether it be to the state or to a private party, that's their, of course, their choice. But always you should keep in mind that the property rights of our citizens and our residents of the state should be first and foremost. Using taxpayer dollars for that purpose, then the thing that you have to consider is that property comes off of the tax rolls because it becomes government-owned, so it's not producing property taxes. And the more you do that, the more you force a tax burden upon other citizens in that community. So that would have to be weighed and looked at further since you provide that further detail about it.
Let me do a follow-up question here, and Ron, we'll start with you. Looking at the issue of sea level rise, and you know, some towns have been planning, some have not. What are your thoughts on how we address sea level rise is going to affect our coastline? We are already seeing erosion. What are your thoughts on how we prepare and plan for that?
Well, that's a natural process, and preparing for it is a difficult. That's a difficult question, really and truly. I think that you have to, it has to be scientifically based. This whole issue of climate change, the problem that I have with it is it's not settled science. A lot of the reports about it are anecdotal in nature, and which makes it opinion. So you have to really have science that's really depicted in an objective manner, whether it be Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution or NOAA or any of the other federal, state, or agencies. Difficult question, and I'm going to have to say that it's going to need a lot more study before you can give a definitive answer on it.
Alan Waters?
One of the things about having beautiful properties on the coast is that if you know that your property is near the water, if you know that it can be exposed to the winds of change, we're always waiting for that next hurricane to come that hopefully won't show again this year, that you take certain risks for being and a lot of homeowners want everyone to absorb that risk along with them. But certainly, whether man is creating this change or whether it's just some greater change just because our environment flows from ice age back to the temperatures that we know now. One of the things, if it's happening, then we just need to make sure that properties that are built are built so that they can be at a higher water, so the water doesn't affect them, etc. So, you know, there's only so much that you can do about these things other than continue to build as you predict what the future is going to be.
You wanted a rebuttal? Go ahead.
It's more or less a rebuttal because now it just clicked. This is not an easy question for anybody, not just us. I attended a workshop sponsored by the Wacoit National Reserve, concerning the floodplain maps that everybody read about. Those floodplain maps, even the company that was contracted by the federal government, made mistakes. And the National Flood Insurance Program. So now everybody's rates lives in a floodplain or on the coast is up in the air about whether they're going to be able to afford the $20,000 or $30,000 a year in premiums. So again, a tough question for anybody, whether it be us as candidates, the national, the federal government, the agencies, their subcontractors, or anything. They're making mistakes, and we're supposed to be making decisions upon the input and the data that we're being provided, and then we find out that data is misleading.
Data, right.
We are talking with the Republican candidates for the Cape and Islands State Senate seat, Ron Beatty and Alan Waters. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. More after a break. You're listening to The Point. It's our first political debate of the season, the state primary coming up September 9th, and we today are talking to the Republican candidates for the Cape and Islands State Senate seat, Ron Beatty and Alan Waters. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. If you would like to know where the candidates stand on a particular issue, give us a call. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Ron Beatty, we start with you this time. Cape Cod Young Professionals commissioned a survey, Shape the Cape, that was done by the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. The results showed that only a third of the young people surveyed felt the wages were sufficient to afford the cost of living here. 50% of those surveyed were considering moving off the Cape. What are your thoughts on how we recruit and retain young families?
Okay, this is an interconnected problem. I've mentioned it before in some of my editorials for the local papers. Yes, we have a drain of a younger generation fleeing the Cape. It's been going on for some years now because they cannot afford to live here. First and foremost, we need to have good quality, good paying jobs so that they can afford to live here, afford the cost of housing, Which is another issue. Like I said, there are issues that are interrelated here: affordable housing, wages, business. The Cape Cod in general is not a business-friendly region. I'm sorry, it's just not. Another area, if you happen to look at the kind of go to the Department of Labor, Department of Commerce, and you look up the statistics for the types of grants that this area gets in the area, for example, Plymouth County. Plymouth County gets grants for business development, economic development. The Cape and Islands area gets it for environmental protection, for buying up open space, for social welfare programs. There's a disconnect there. You want your younger generation to stay here. You develop, you provide economic development, business expansion, and that has not been taking place, and that's what needs to be done. They can afford to live here if they get paid a decent wage, have a decent job, not these minimum wage paying jobs. Yes, the current state senator increased the minimum wage. Doesn't help the problem whatsoever. He's been in office for 4 years. What has he accomplished? Again, little, if anything, that I can see, and a lot of the other people that have been looking at his performance as well.
Alan Waters, same question.
When you when you lose the youth, when you use the next generation of people to sustain Cape Cod, that's a major problem. And again, Cape Cod has to make a decision. We have to decide how much of the old Cape Cod we're going to preserve in order to let the new millennium really come in. Yes, we do need jobs, but that also comes right from Beacon Hill. The high taxation, the high fees to be able to establish new businesses, the fact that Cape Cod itself, I don't think any town is maximizing the number of affordable housing for poor people, never mind having better and more favorable codes developed so that people can build for houses that are just affordable for the young. But between the housing, continue to work on the educational platform for the public schools, as well as deciding, Cape Cod has to decide what type of businesses we want here. We need to go out and get those type of businesses. If we want just clean industry, such as technology, you know, we can't just leave Boston as the in Cambridge as the hub. We need to be able to attract these things. And we have the technology rings and things already in place to improve.
I have a follow-up question, since we're both talking about jobs and job growth. And you're saying, Alan, we want to bring those jobs. What was your plan for creating and retaining jobs here on the Cape and Islands?
The biggest plan right now is to really start to work on the state level. The state of Massachusetts is losing business, and this is the least business-friendly state. So we really need to work on reducing taxes for businesses. I believe that businesses up to some level, $100,000, $200,000 of revenue, shouldn't be taxed at all. And we also should be lowering the fee to enter businesses. It just costs too much for a small person to establish a platform, to be able to establish LLCs and maintain them, et cetera. So we need to make that whole thing more attractive. So back, how does that all fit in with Cape Cod? It's all more of a master plan. We need to work on it from a state level to make just Massachusetts more attractive, and that will also help Cape Cod.
All right. Ron Beatty, same question.
We need to do a number of things, both on the state and the local level. First of all, the state should institute tax incentives, give businesses a certain period of time where they're not taxed. New York State does that. Entice them here. Reduce the regulations on businesses, not increase them like they currently have been doing. On the county level, we have an organization called the Cape Cod Economic Development Council, which receives money from the Cape and Islands license plate. Properly hand out those grants to business startups and local business people to expand their businesses like the funds were originally intended to, instead of giving them to nonprofit agencies with these pie-in-the-sky ideas that really do nothing. Expand the kind of, like he mentioned, the kind of businesses. don't just attract a resort tourism sort of business like hotels and whatnot that the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce seems to only aim for. You have to have other areas. You need to bring in private industry. You need to bring in other types of businesses, whether they're manufacturing or whatnot. Maybe the Cape Cod Commission or other agencies don't like certain types of businesses. You get what you can as to produce jobs, to produce the economic vitality that we need to so people can afford to live here. And you work with groups like the National Federation of Independent Businesses. These people are experts. For some reason, they're given the cold shoulder by the state.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. If you have a question for the candidates, our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Ron Beatty, we'll start with you this time. Where do you stand on casino gambling?
Well, it's going forward at this point. There's been some talk of having a voter referendum on it, whether or not the voters of Massachusetts want it. I think that's a good take. You certainly don't want to go against the wishes of the voters and the residents of the people that live here. However, if they are in agreement that they want it, then fine. They can use the funds for a good reason. I think it's called a sort of a sin tax to some degree. They regulate alcohol. They're going to regulate the gambling, just like they regulate smoking and everything else. They tax it. Some good comes out of the funds. Again, you don't want to condone vices of any sort, but it's going to be there. We might as well get the funding from it if the people go along with it and they want it. If they do have a referendum and they vote it down, then, of course, it should not go forward.
Alan?
Gambling is a vice. Gambling affects some of the people who need not to spend their money on that form of entertainment. But most importantly, to me, gaming represents the end of ideas for the liberal progressive supermajority that run the state of Massachusetts. What we're saying is that the only thing that we really have to make Massachusetts better is something that takes the money out of pockets of people who can afford it the least in order to make sure that the state continues to get the revenue that it needs in order to operate. So it's regressive. It's not helping the Commonwealth. We need to stop it. Philosophically, I believe that there should be only one casino in the state of Massachusetts, just one. The people of the First Light, the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, because they're under federal law, should be, if they can establish it, make a deal, let the state get the revenue from that. But that's all we need, because there's plenty of gaming in other states across this country that is shrinking, not growing.
Alan, we'll start with you this time. Homeowners insurance. Coastal residents pay more than inland communities because of the threat of a big hurricane. With soaring rates, increases in wind deductions, you begin to wonder what is covered. So others have been dropped by insurers who have left the area, and those folks are forced onto the state fair plan. And this, of course, is an issue that we have been grappling with for several years. How would you approach it?
Well, first of all, coastal residents, Cape Cod residents, and other coastal residents along our coastlines of Massachusetts have long been getting not the best deal, because what we have is weak regulation of insurance companies and how they do business. The whole formula of where the greatest risk is at hasn't been in our favor, but the state hasn't been fighting for us as hard as they could. So as a state senator, I would really want to go in and start to take a look at the different committees and boards that just allow the insurance companies to continue to raise these rates without really defending them. So from that level, we just need more advocacy.
Ron Beatty?
Well, first of all, you need to get the floodplain map straightened out with the correct data and information. Until that is done, there should be a suspension of any rates or increases whatsoever on the residents. They don't need to be burdened by increases that are based upon false information. Until that's done, I don't think we can really give a definitive answer on the matter. Get the information correct first, and then we'll take it from there. But during that time, no increases whatsoever.
All right. We are coming up on the 4 minutes left of the program, so a couple of minutes each for closing comments. And Alan Waters, we'll start with you.
The reason why I think I should be state senator is because I offer the change that people need. I'm a conservative, but I'm not part of any particular group or political clique. Again, I'm just the neighbor down the street that said, you know what? We need regular people up in the state house that are going to go in there and try to make the state better. And so by advocating lower taxes, less regulation, lower fees, I'm also for more educational choice. The last two times the Senate and our current Senator Dan Wolf voted against the increase for charter schools, left 17,000 people, students in inner cities in the state of Massachusetts without that choice. And there's 40,000 students overall that had they at least increased their charter school cap by 5%, that would have made change. And we already know that charter schools have been shown to improve the educational performance of inner city students. So there's a lot that can be done to make Massachusetts a better place to live in. And we need somebody to represent Cape Cod and represent the state overall. And I'm one of those no-nonsense candidates that are going to go up and be an individual about it, but conservatively represent this Cape and Islands district.
Ron Beatty.
Okay, well, as I mentioned before, I am a Tea Party Republican candidate for the state Senate, Cape and Islands district. I am a doer, not a talker. I think I've shown that to people through my activism, both locally and regionally. I belong to Citizens for Limited Taxation. I am a member of the NAMVETS Association, which is also known as the Cape and Islands Veterans Outreach Center, a life member. I am the only candidate, either Democrat or Republican at this point, who has served in the armed forces and was honorably discharged. I am the most highly educated of the three candidates, with two associates, two bachelor's, and two master's degrees. I am a native-born lifelong resident of the Cape, which I believe gives me a certain amount of insight into the problems and the issues here and how our various needs have to be addressed. I have signed a taxpayer protection pledge. Under no circumstances will I vote for an increase in taxes on the state level if I am elected as the state senator. And I have been endorsed by Bourne Selectman Linda Zuwern, who is also a local Tea Party activist and conservative advocate. I have been endorsed by a group called the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights, so I am a property rights advocate as well. Also, if elected, as I mentioned, one of my first actions will be to file legislation which will revoke or reduce the regulatory of the Cape Cod Commission, which I believe has been detrimental to the economic development and well-being of the Cape. I think that will help serve notice that we are open for business. We are a business-friendly area. Come on in, and we'll help you get established here.
All right. We've heard this morning from the Republican candidates for the Cape and Islands State Senate seat, Ron Beatty and Alan Waters. One of them will win the primary and then face Dan Wolf in the general election in November. Tune in next week, next Thursday. As we know, State Representative Cleon Turner is retiring. We will hear from the Democratic candidates running in the primary for that seat. All of our debates can be found on our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of WCAI, the local NPR station for the Cape, the Coast, and the Islands.